This is the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club.
Woohoo! Breakfast!
For last Tuesday's meeting, July 27th, 2021. My name is Scott Stimson. I'm your host.
Oh my God, we're in Alaska. Where are we going?
We're, Waffles.
Waffles. Is that a bear?
Breakfast!
Drive fast.
Hey, you're the one sleeping outside. Don't laugh about a bear.
Speed!
We're in Kenai visiting Tio Cid.
Anchor Point.
We're heading towards
Homer
for waffles.
Love waffles. Love this.
We're in the car with Emily Stimson.
What's up? The favorite child.
It's in February.
Woohoo!
Bibiana Stimson.
Hi.
Justin Ruin.
Good morning, San Carlos.
And Barbara, I don't know her last name.
Bernicia, good morning.
And we're all here just to say good morning and enjoy this episode of the San Carlos Computer Club. Until next Tuesday, tech on.
Tech on.
Woo!
That is the waffle intro. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi there.
Hey, I'm sorry. I was having technical difficulties. For some reason, I just lost internet. When you know it, everything's working just fine, and all of a sudden, there's no internet here, just as we're getting started.
Is this getting a complex, Scott?
Getting disconnected? Yes.
From every location you happen to be in?
Yeah. I think it was really funny was when you passed it over to me, and I kept getting disconnected. So
it's a haunting of our group meeting.
It's the curse, yes.
That's right. Well, I just, speaking of cursing the meeting, today is the very first time, just moments ago, I came back to my screen to see a message from Google Meet telling me that group calls over an hour are only supported by Google Workplace, and asking me if I'd like to upgrade. So I don't know what to think. I don't know if all of a sudden we're going to lose this meeting because I started it 45 minutes ago, or if we're going to be able to roll through like we normally do. But it looks like Google is starting to take away the free extended calls that we've been making.
Well, that's what they told us with Zoom, and all of us know that if for some reason we all just kind of disappear, reconnect.
I think that's where we're at, is if we do get disconnected, the very first thing we're going to do is try and reconnect.
And join again.
Yeah, just join it again. And if it's not that easy, then we got bigger problems. Maybe I know that Skype is still doing group calls. We might actually consider going back to that if it becomes an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, we have options. We, on our TV screen in the living room right now is halfway through a Black Widow. We had both our son and grandson with us last night, and they were watching it until they fell asleep. So,
and are they loving it?
I think Alvin had already seen it once. They rented it.
Okay.
And I haven't talked to Jeffrey because he left at 5:30 this morning to go to work. And he'll be back around 2 to help us out, getting a few things done around here.
Well, I hope you guys have some topics, preferably computer related. I have been so occupied with what I've been doing here that I just barely got the podcast out this morning at midnight. And I haven't had a chance to really do any research or pay much attention to tech news over the last week. So I still have the list from last week of things we never got to. But well, I don't have any new topics. I haven't paid any attention to tech news this week.
Well, you've been busy. And Bill said at breakfast this morning, he said, I feel so ashamed. He said, I have sent Scott nothing, and I haven't done anything in about 3 weeks. So he's feeling it too.
That's funny. Yeah.
And I've been away from my Netflix addiction, but I jumped back in this week, so I have a couple of things to talk about there. But
awesome. I haven't even watched anything. I've been so involved in what's going on here, I haven't sat down in front of a TV.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, I guess in the end it is. That means I've spent more time with my kids, more time with family, you know, activities that we've been working on Justin's house. But in the free time outside of that, we've been doing dinners and activities, and that's a good thing too.
You posted a video of the geese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez. So that made me start thinking, and I maybe somebody knows the answer to this. So our geese arrive here in about March, April kind of thing. And as far as we know, they stick around for a while until they fly south. So what about the Alaska geese? Are they ones that have come so far and then further, or do they go?
Ironically, Cheryl, we consider them your geese. Those are Canadian geese.
Well, of course they're Canadian geese, but our Canadian geese end up in Florida and down in California. I want to know what the migratory path is. Do yours end up in Washington? You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I'm no expert of the birds, but I do know that I grew up believing that they came in the summer and left in the winter, and that they were Canadian and that they had to go south. That's all I know. Morning, Jester.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. I was just saying, I hope you guys have brought some tech topics, because I'm pretty vacant. I've got topics from last week, but I haven't paid too much attention to the tech news this week.
This is not a tech topic, but I just got a text from my friend who said they're closing the beaches in San Carlos because of COVID.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I talked to Yuya and they've gone back into the red.
Right.
Yeah. Guaymas, Empalme, Hermosillo, Nogales, a whole slew of places are all back in the red. Same restrictions, businesses closed by 10 o'clock. Beaches are completely cut off. Parties are completely cut off. Rental events are completely turned off.
Kind of like L.A. and other places in the U.S.
You know what?
Restaurants.
They're now recommending masks indoors.
Yes. Yeah. And Yuya was telling me that this is the first time that they've had reports of young people that have died there locally of COVID. And actually, one young person, like 16 years old, that has passed away goes to the high school that's part of the private school circuit that my daughter goes to.
And I'm not sure of the cause yet, but one of our Loma Del Mar members who's 63 years old just died.
Kids are going, if they're going back, well, I say if, when they go back to school, they're going to be under full protocols because they're still not vaccinated. They're supposed to start vaccinating 30 and older next week.
I just read that they were going to do unlimited vaccinations. That was on that Mexico News Daily site, I think.
Well, if that's the case, they may have just made that decision, but they must have been handed vaccinations, because the way I understand it is it's all been about availability, and that's why they've been so constrained.
Vaccinated up there?
Emily got her second vaccination when we came up to Alaska, and so she's like just over, she's like 10 days into her second Pfizer. And Bibiana got her first Pfizer at the same time. So she's 10 days into her first Pfizer. But if Mexico doesn't change the way they're doing things, they're going to be some of the few children that are vaccinated.
Right. Well, that's okay. But now they're saying that older people may need boosters. But so we'll see what happens with that.
Oh, my gosh. I need to press the streaming button. Give me a second, because it is that time. Go live. There we go. So,
Judy?
Yes.
One of our workers, Valentine, has COVID.
Well, there were quite a few of them last season, but we weren't told that they had it. But now Valentin has it. Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I talked to Ricardo yesterday.
Jeez.
Everybody else doing okay on the crew that you hear?
I don't know. Valentin is my gardener, so that's why I talked to him.
You know, what amazes me is how many members of my own family and Jan's family won't take the vaccination.
Oh, it's nuts. It's just nuts.
So my granddaughters tested positive when they were down at school, but they have since both been vaccinated. So I don't know. You know, they were tested like several times a week at school, one in Loyola and one at Tulane. So they've both tested positive. So I don't know. Hopefully they've got double immunity now.
Hey, I'm going to just take one moment here at the beginning of the hour to say this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions coming to you from Anchorage, Alaska. I'm sitting in the apartment the mother-in-law apartment downstairs that I grew up in. My parents have a large duplex, and when I was about 8 to 12 years old, they moved me downstairs. And so I am sitting in a living room, kitchen area. I don't know if you guys can see this. Outside on the first floor, there's a patio area. Oop.
So did they let the girls stay upstairs?
Bibiana is living in one of our bed and breakfast rooms upstairs, and Emily is living in our family room, which is actually, get this camera going, is right through that door over there. As soon as I started talking to Paul, she exited the living room. I guess she didn't want to participate today. Oh, and I'm sporting a new cap. Mom's been making me new caps since I've been here.
So styling.
This is my new favorite.
So, Scott, I have an update on the iPhone 12 Max Pro.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, so you had told me a couple of weeks ago, last week, it was really, really bad. My 99-year-old mother-in-law finally, she died of complications, kind of a urinary tract infection. But she lived a long life, but it was very, and still is, pretty hard, even though she was 99. But anyway, so to the phone, you had told me that I should make sure it has dual SIM. Yes, it does. And to activate the ESM.
The eSIM, yes.
The eSIM. Well, in order to activate the eSIM, the phone has to be paid off. So you have to buy it outright.
Really?
Yeah. Otherwise, this is AT&T now talking. Remember, I have AT&T. This is AT&T. It has to be paid off.
You won't activate the eSIM unless you pay for the entire equipment? That's new news to me. That's great to know.
And so if I bought the phone from Apple directly, yes, I can do that right away, because their phones are totally unlocked. However, I don't get the $700 rebate that AT&T is giving me on my iPhone 10.
And you're not in a position to pay the equipment off. That is crazy that they wouldn't
do
that.
Okay, I am. However, if I want the deal, the $700 refund from AT&T on my iPhone 10, I have to finance it. There's no charge. I mean, there's no fee to finance it. It's a monthly $11 a month fee. However, if I pay the phone, if I buy the phone outright, I do not get that $700.
So what you're saying is that the phone is the same price regardless of whether you buy it outright or if you finance it.
Correct.
However, the way AT&T's deal is working with your trade-in, for you to take advantage of that $700 value of the trade-in, you have to finance with them.
Yes.
And because it's financed, they won't turn on the eSIM.
Exactly.
Oh, that's just infuriating.
If it was important to me.
Well, you basically have bought a single SIM phone at that point.
Right, that's what I've had for, that's why I carried two phones for a long time. But since AT&T works very well in Mexico, it's not an issue for me.
Well, you'll just be swapping SIMs, so there's a whole feature set that is available that you can't take advantage of because of the way AT&T is. AT&T is not even making more money off of you.
No, but it really isn't an issue. I would rather have $700 for my iPhone 10.
Yeah, I think that's all geared towards keeping you in AT&T. They're like,
and they should know, that I've been with AT&T since my first cell phone. So, and then the other thing is, so I was at AT&T. First, I went to Apple, the Apple store, and talked to them. And I said, why are you telling me that I should buy my phone from AT&T? And the guy says to me, because we can't match their $700 traded.
What phone are you trading in? I'm making notes here because I'm really curious to find more information. What is it again?
A 10. iPhone 10.
iPhone 10. Written as an X because Apple likes to screw with us. $700 is a lot of money to get for a trade-in phone.
Yes, it is. And that's okay. So the other thing, so then I walk over to the Apple store or the AT&T store, which is kind of next door. And I start talking to them and the manager of the store says, well, you do know that in September, late August or September, the 13 is coming out. So I really wouldn't want you to be unhappy. And I just want you to know that maybe you should wait because the Pro Max is probably going to go down in price.
That follows form. Of course, then again, if we do that, we're always waiting because there's always a new phone coming out.
Yeah, but this is only 2 months for me.
Well, that would be worth waiting.
Yeah. And I said, do you think promo will stay the same? And he said, yes. It might even be better if we go by past promotions.
You know what else will happen is your iPhone X will be, or your iPhone 10 will be worth less possibly.
Right.
To AT&T.
So it kind of depends on, I was looking up to yesterday about the new features that, because there's like the sneak previews of the 13. And there aren't a whole lot of differences, except it looks like they've gone ahead and increased the battery again. And you can also get a 1 terabyte phone, which I don't have any need for, but.
Right. Actually, if anything, the way we've gotten faster and more reliable cell coverage everywhere for data, I think there's a lot of people that don't need as much storage on their phone as we were doing before.
Right. And then the other thing that I had asked was, okay, if I bump up my plan $10, I get a Wi-Fi hotspot on my phone. And I said, well, is that going to help me when I have such crummy AT&T service at my house? And the guy said, if you don't have Wi-Fi coverage, it won't help you.
If you don't have cell coverage, it won't. Of course it won't. Of course it won't.
So he was really trying to be helpful to me because I didn't understand about the hotspot. I thought, okay, I have a hotspot. I can connect my car to my phone, and then my car is a hotspot. And then it's bigger, so it should get better service. But no.
Yeah, no, if you have crummy AT&T coverage where you're trying to use it, then it doesn't matter because it's a bridge. It's a bridge between your Wi-Fi devices to the cell network. And if your connection to the cell network sucks to begin with, then your right. Wi-Fi experience is going to suck.
So the only way that I get cell service at my house is to use Wi-Fi calling, because I have fiber optics. So therefore, I have really good coverage at my house, in my house.
Well, you use Wi-Fi calling because you have good internet service in your house and you have sad cell phone service. And this is another one of those topics that I was talking about before, about this concept of data encroachment, where AT&T just turned on wireless calling, just sold it to you as a feature. But what they're really doing is they're not beefing up their infrastructure in your area, and they're still charging you the same amount for your service.
Exactly. And I did mention it to this manager at the store, and he said, yes, I hear lots and lots of complaints, and we're working on it. Well, that's been the case for, you know, yeah, I got my first phone, but it's been like 20 years.
I'll put this little thought in your head, too, that they have the ability to know exactly where they have crummy coverage.
I do. I have that app, and every time I can't get on, I mark that spot and send it to them.
Yeah, but they don't even need your participation for that. All they need to do is look at all the phones that prefer wireless calling versus cell calling, because they have these systems set up for their phones. So all their phones, they have metrics that show whether they're coming in off of third-party ISPs or if they're using their own network, their own proprietary network. So they know exactly the phones that aren't connecting to their cell networks without mm-hmm. you even participating or submitting information.
You know, I just kind of feel like the squeaky wheel might get the grease, and maybe they get tired of me pinging their little app all the time. So
I think we all would agree with that to some extent. When you're face to face with somebody that's been empowered to make some special arrangement with you, mm-hmm. then yeah, saying and making it, pointing it out and making, you know, I just had this interesting experience with Costco. This isn't tech related, but the kids and I all got glasses. The kids needed upgrades because they've gotten bigger and their eyes have changed. And I've finally decided to go to a set of progressives because I'm walking around all the time like this with these reading glasses on the tip of my nose. I can't look at my watch. I can't look at my phone without needing the reading glasses. So I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to wear glasses all the time. So we go to Costco and we get them there, and Bebe and I go to pick up our glasses together. And as we turn around from the counter, we were joking. We were like, let's switch glasses. She hands me her glasses, and I reach too quickly for them because I don't have my glasses on. I just handed her my glasses, and I don't see her glasses, and they slide right through my fingers and drop to the floor, and the lens pops right out of it. We've had these glasses for less than 2 minutes. The optical counter is right behind us. We literally just picked them up, lens in hand, turned 180 degrees, looked at the woman that was just helping us, and said, hey. And she's like, oh my gosh. And she went to a display counter where she found the exact same frames on display. And she immediately pulled the lenses out of that and stuck BB's lenses into it, made sure they were shiny, clean, and new, handed them to BB and said, I'm really sorry that happened. Apparently, her lenses, shoddy work at the lab, they had allowed that frame to go out with a bored out screw hole. And so as she's trying to tighten it up, she learns she can't tighten it up. And they should never have been sent out. They should have just been replaced back at the lab. Fortunately, they had the display model and their glasses, so that's not like buying a display model laptop. But then I bought my progressives with some tinting, and as I'm driving home, I'm like, these aren't turning into sunglasses. These aren't working right. I call up Costco and explain the situation. Well, it turns out the person that was attending me, though they had me go through what color do I want? Do I want the tinting? I mean, the whole procedure, they inadvertently put in the computer, I wanted clear glass instead of tinted glass. Well, that, I'm talking to the optometrist. Well, because the optometrist, since, or I don't know what do you call the girl that works behind the counter? She's not a doctor. But she was like one of the managers of that department. And because of the experience with BB and the experience with my tinting, I don't have any paperwork that says I'm supposed to have tinting. All I have is the experience. I'm telling her, she told me, she asked me what color I wanted. She had me choose from over there. You have like three different colors. She had me try them out. And she just hit the wrong button. And this lady's like, well, we're just going to give it to you for free. We'll get them out right now. We'll send them back to the lab and have them. And we're going to waive the $30 for the tinting extra. And I just thought, what a great Costco story again. They just take anything back. They want to make sure that you, like I'm here telling you guys, I got crappy glasses, but they're standing behind them and I'm not having to pay anything extra to get them fixed. And they're going to try. And I like, you know, I'm under a time constraint. I'm leaving here in 17 days and I live down in Mexico. And she's like, well, I can send them anywhere. I'll send them to Mexico if I need to. I like, when you're dealing with that person that's been empowered right in front of you, then they're able to do all kinds of stuff to help you out. Whereas the organization, oh, I'm sorry, Cheryl, go ahead.
She's a technician.
A technician.
Optical technician.
Optical technician. Yeah.
Sort of like being a computer tech.
Yeah, not at all, because I don't have any power.
So, Judy, I asked you a question in the chat because I didn't know if you wanted to answer it on the YouTube, but I was just wondering. And I had to leave for a little bit when negotiating the sale of one of our trailers. so I'm back now. You were talking about Costco, but before that, you were talking about your telephone, Judy. So AT&T said that you had to pay your phone off before they would activate the SIM?
The eSIM.
Oh, the eSIM.
Yeah. If I could paraphrase for Judy, apparently she's getting this great trade-in deal with the iPhone 10. She's getting a $700 credit for it. But she only gets to take advantage of that credit if she trades it in with AT&T and they do financing on the phone. Now, the financing is zero interest. So the phone doesn't cost any extra money. But they won't activate the eSIM unless the phone is paid off. They won't let her buy it outright with the $700 credit.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's one offer only. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, that's how it's always been. I couldn't even, you know, until my phone was paid off, I couldn't do a lot of things with it.
Yeah.
And so you have to get a code to unlock the phone. And I've done that every time once it's paid off.
I mean, I hear you. That's fine. You can work around those things. But what's infuriating is if you had the money to just pay the phone, and it's, I mean, they're not making any money off that. That'd be the, like, the, it comes with financing. It's at 2%. Right. I mean, I understand all this is our business model, but their business model now is, no, we're not charging you any extra money. We're just kind of hobbling you because we want you stuck on AT&T. We don't want you to leave us. And so this is the way we do it, is we're giving you a $700 credit and you're going to stay with us for the next, what is the financing, 2 years?
3 years.
3 years. So for 3 years, you can't take advantage of having a dual SIM phone.
Well, I can if I want to pay off the phone and lose
the $700 credit.
Right. I mean, I could go to over to the Apple store and get my 10% military discount. 10%. Now, wait, listen, 10% military discount and buy it through Apple. Or by doing it with AT&T, I also get a 25% military discount.
It's just rubbing me the wrong way because it's like they're selling you a different phone. And 10 years ago, that was totally acceptable. Like you would get the Samsung that was built specifically for T-Mobile. right? And it had T-Mobile services in it, and it had its own unique T-Mobile things. They built the phone. But these iPhones are built by they're built forever. They're the same everywhere.
Right.
And so what AT&T is doing is they're through contracting, they are creating a different phone for you.
But the thing is, why isn't Apple matching it right up front? That's what really irks. I am more irked at Apple because I would prefer to buy my phone from Apple and buy it outright. But I think I should be entitled to the same discounts that AT&T will offer me.
You know, that's a whole different way. I didn't even look at it like that. Like, price matching is a thing these days.
Exactly, but not with Apple.
Definitely not with Apple.
But didn't you say you got the Apple warranty, or whatever they call that Apple plan, through AT&T? Apple Care.
No, I have to get it through Apple.
But they'll give it to you for free, or how much does that count?
It's like $119 or something.
Yeah, so all things considered, with the 25% discount, the $700 credit and everything, you're still better off with AT&T.
Financially.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's a much cheaper phone than AT&T.
Financially, Apple is overpriced.
Well, they just aren't matching, I guess, like Scott said, they aren't price matching.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's frustrating because we live in a world where all these stores are price matching. If you go into a Best Buy and you can show them you can buy it on Amazon right now for $10 less, they typically have an associate there that can match that price. That's just a normal thing that happens now.
I could actually buy the phone from – I could buy it from Costco. I could buy it from Sam's. I could buy it from all those places – for about the same amount of money
The only way I can wrap my head around justifying that kind of behavior is, look, it's $700 cheaper. It's the iPhone 12 mini. And even though that doesn't exist as an actual product, that's what AT&T is selling you. Is it, you get it for $700 cheaper, but you don't get to take advantage of these features.
But it is already a dual SIM phone.
It is, yeah. I mean, but you know, this concept, actually, now that we're talking about it, I remember that Intel has proposed for many years feature sets in their chips that would only be unlockable if you paid a premium price. And so the idea was that you would have these extra GPUs, these extra CPUs, this extra power that's etched into the silicon of the chip that's on your computer. And if you ever needed to take advantage of that, then you could get a hold of Intel, pay some price, and they'd give you some firmware code, and you'd be able to turn it on. And it's never really caught on, but it's definitely an idea that's been in play for a long time.
Yeah, even the big computers used to be that way. You could buy like 1, 2, 3, or 4 CPUs on this box, but they all came with 4 because that was how the chip was made.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was all about what they were going to... Yeah, that kind of thinking just makes me crazy. But that's the only way I can wrap my head around. They didn't make a special phone for AT&T. AT&T's making a special phone out of what they're selling. Hey, I see Bill's online with us. Hi, Bill. And Dave's here as well. I'm sorry I didn't greet you when you came on. Bill, I got something for you. And I said earlier I didn't bring any tech topics, and I was absolutely wrong. I've got one tech topic, and it's related to the same thing I'm showing Bill here. This is my new cup. Let me see if I can get that in frame. Whoop.
Well, you're in the screen. I don't see. Oh, there it is. You're making me feel bad now.
Now, the reason this is a tech topic is my buddy Justin gave this to me as a gift. He got this at Disney World. And in the base of it is an RFID chip. And in Disney World, when you pay for a meal plan, they keep track of your cups, and you can go to any of the drink dispensers in the park and get yourself a drink with one of these cups, and it counts it off in your meal plan. So I've got an E cup.
Now, Scott, I'm going way back, but at one point, my ex-wife and the two kids went to a Club Med in the Bahamas. You know what Club Med is?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've never been to one, but I know what it is. Well, actually, that's not true. I went to the one in San Carlos when I first got
in San Carlos. There you go. Anyway, one of their big promotion things is that when you got there, you didn't need any money. You were supposed to lock up your wallet and leave it in the room or wherever. Anyway, and you could go to the kiosk and you could buy beads. These are little interlocking beads that went around your wrist. And there was white ones and orange ones. And when you all finished and checking out, you had to settle up for the beads. And you realize that it's a real con, because when your kids come to you and say they want an ice cream and it's three beads or something, it doesn't feel like money.
Right.
But when you settle up, it definitely feels like money. So this is the same idea. You know, you don't have to keep track. You can just go get another drink. But at the end, it's counting it off of your meal plan, and eventually you're going to run out.
Right. Yeah.
Other than that, the Club Med was a hell of a deal. Family Club Med with a circus, and the kids could go in and all week and pick an event that they wanted to participate in, and then they could be high wire act, or they could be clowns, or they could be all kinds of things. And then at the end, there was a show. It was a circus show.
Boy, that's sure a different way than the Club Med in San Carlos was really a singles place. Small room.
No, this is
all single activities.
Well, they don't want you staying in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, I actually have a tech topic for today.
All right, Dave, I'm glad.
I've got a mesh network, which is also TP-Link. And I'm seeing all sorts of strange things happening with it.
Which one did you get?
Some of which I can write off and say, who cares? Others kind of bug me.
Which one did you get, Dave?
I get the TP-Link X20, and it was like $190 for three units. And I figured versus the smaller ones, why not go with the Wi-Fi 6 one? Difference, it was
for
like
that price,
50 or $60 more.
I was going to say, it's about $40 to $50 more. AX 1800 whole home mesh Wi-Fi 6. Well, now you're making me jealous. I didn't wait.
there was a deal from somebody, so I don't know why, but okay. Right. Took advantage of it.
Certainly.
But anyway, I keep getting, I keep getting devices attached that I can't identify. You know, they say unknown device. And you go, oh, well, that's nice. How do I ever figure out which one it is? Then I go, okay, most of the time, my app on the phone allows me to choose between my home network or my guest network, which I defined also.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it won't give me the option to show offline devices. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Well, and then daily, I am getting devices showing up saying, this device is now attached to your network. It's always, however you pronounce it, the Huawei type of device.
A Huawei?
And each time it's a different number, but the number is not something like a MAC ID or certainly not an IP. So I'm going, what in heaven's name is thinking it's attaching to my device and always giving me a different identification? And so the real question for all this junk is, how do I track down literally which devices are attached? Because unlike my router, you can't go into it in greater detail and find all the devices that have attached to it in your IDs.
Well, I haven't talked to Bill or Paul about that kind of extensive use. But what I have done is that when a device attaches that isn't immediately identifiable from the app, I track it down and edit the name in the app so that I can track it easily.
Because well, I have done that for those that I can identify, like my solar system, coming up.
But if you've got stuff that's connecting to it that you don't know what it is, probably the best way to deal with it is to change your password and watch all that stuff disappear. And then go around your network reattaching devices to it one by one.
Well, but part of my reason for my guest network is I've got devices which aren't used much, like a couple switches to turn on and off lights. Those don't have passwords. And, you know, it's difficult to force that device to attach to which network it has because it can go to the Telmex 2.4 gigahertz network, or it can go to the mesh one.
Well, you're going to have to give it some thought, Dave. As far as the IoT stuff, I recommend you have that on a completely different network. And it should be secure. So whatever IoT devices you're using should have the ability to connect to a Wi-Fi device with a password, with encryption.
But the devices themselves don't support a password.
Yeah, that would be a lousy device, Dave.
But that's pretty common.
Oh, it's not that common. You're talking about like light switches and... And you're saying that they don't support a Wi-Fi network that supports passwords? I don't think that's correct.
Well, you have no opportunity to do anything other than, with luck, select what network on most of those that I've seen. And take something like Alexa. Does it, you know?
Yeah, well, you set up Alexa using your app, and it does. It very much uses networks with passwords.
Right.
But we are talking about the right thing. I'm not talking about administrating the device. I'm talking about connecting to a Wi-Fi network.
Okay.
And all of these IoT devices should be able to connect to a Wi-Fi network using a password. But because they typically will have weak security and they're all Linux-based devices, and so there's all these compromises out there, your best security is served by having a completely separate Wi-Fi network for those devices, for light switches and lights and things like that, so they're not used to monitor your activities on the Internet. Of course, who knows? We might be in this transitional period where your activities on a computer aren't as... they don't need to be as secure as your lights, your heating, your deadbolts on the house. When we get to a smart home that can do all those things, maybe the idea is that network is the most secure network.
And I've tried.
Oh my gosh! Look at this.
Basically turning off what I thought was almost everything in the house, and I'm going.
FYI. Google Meet just gave me an indicator that we have 5 minutes before we get disconnected.
Huh. I saw it too. It came up on in the corner, and I guess 5 minutes till we reconnect.
Yeah, we will try reconnecting, and I still run a Skype session for the computer club. So if we can't get reconnected, let's just move over to that at least for updates of what we're going to do next.
So, Scott, a quick thing. We got notification at Loma Del Mar that they are going to install fiber optics.
Yay! That's an awesome thing.
That was just quick.
So that,
I have no idea.
No details.
All I know is that the board sent out a notification that Telmex has said that over the summer they will install fiber optics.
Oh, Who knows? Awesome.
Yeah. Okie dokie. If we don't talk again, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, are we, do we have any other topics from folks? Like I said, I'm a little laxed for topics this week. Nothing. Silent.
Well, I are you finished with Dave's topic? I wasn't sure if that was finished or if you just interrupted yourself.
Yes. I think both. I think I interrupted myself and I think I beat it to death. Dave, would you like to add more?
Well, the only thing is, you know, what are these strange devices, you know, that why, you know, whatever it is, and it attaches once or twice a day, and yep. they have an ID to it, but nothing that I know of to track it.
If you've got devices connecting that, and this is only going with my experience, I learned this with the Eero, the Google Wi-Fi, and with the Deco M5 that a number of us have. These are all different mesh networks. And what I learned is that when a device connects, you get a notification, and in that instant, you're able to make a note to yourself, either in the software or each actually on a piece of paper of what that device is. If, Dave, you've set up your Wi-Fi network using your standard network name and password, then you have devices in your network that are already connecting. Now they're connecting to the new mesh network and identifying as new connections, but they've already got authentication. I'm sure I'm telling you stuff you already know at this point. And that's the only way I could help you sort this out is just change your password, and those other devices won't be able to connect. And you will notice when you try to utilize them, and you'll go and find them and get them onto the network, and at that moment you'll be able to document which ones they are.
You know, so far what I really think is probably happening is I took the option with the Deco to do the automatic power off, power on option. And I think that's actually compounding the problem, that it's clearing out what it knows about, and then the same thing reconnects and it's assigning a different name.
Hmm. So when you say powers off and powers on, is that the actual Wi-Fi network, the mesh nodes, or
it's the mesh nodes, not what it attaches to.
Yeah. Okay.
And that what it attaches to, that router, then seems to be having its daily problem too. And so, either I do the same thing with automatic, the power on off of the router to match what the Deco is doing, or just get rid of the Deco powering on and off.
Hey, Mom. We are about to watch this call end, and we're going to try and reconnect. In fact, there's a countdown on my screen. 3, 2, 1. See you guys in a bit. Everyone's disconnected. Wonderful. Thank you, Google. You know, we're going back in the red in San Carlos in Mexico. We're still going to need some tools. Well, that was a little painful.
Well, Bill and I went to the Skype meeting.
Yeah. No, I did too. And my mom did as well, but I couldn't get the audio to work on it.
Yeah, it was funny because I was there and I could hear people coming and going, but he sent a new code, Bill.
Oh,
It's just in the email, a brand new email.
I also dropped it in the Skype meeting, too.
Z-U-Y. Oh, I can't. Well,
the other meet code does not exist anymore, apparently.
Yeah, I see that. So go to meeting, and then it says I can start meeting where I can chat. Signed in as guest. Sandy joined this conversation.
Oh, you're talking about on Skype.
Yeah, but yeah. Oh, there it is. No.
I think we're going to be switching to Skype because I don't know of Skype having this problem. Skype's problem is a limitation on how many people can be in a meeting. And I think it's like 50. And there isn't 50 of us, so there's no reason for that to be a concern.
Thank God I'm back. I was stuck out in internet limbo. Somebody sucked me back into the real world.
Immediately it became clear to me we had not addressed this topic appropriately enough.
I thought I had just partied too much this weekend and couldn't figure it out.
There you go.
And well, Sandy, the party animal.
Well, we definitely have a tech topic now, don't we?
Then are we back to Zoom? Are we back to Zooming?
Yeah, Zoom works. Zoom has the same problem, but at least you can use the same meet code. This code that we've been using for all this time is now not available.
Yeah. Yeah. They caught on to us, but I think Zoom still does it's only 45 minutes or something, but you can connect for multiple 45 minutes. We used to be able to, but we switched to Google Meet for our book club, and that's not going to happen.
No, so apparently not.
We've canceled ours for the summer.
Scott, are you sure that this thing, your Google Meet, won't reset after a while? I bet it might.
I expect this to reset in an hour because it's a brand new meet.
So your solution could be you just tag on your second Google Meet code, and when you're getting close, you just say, okay, everybody back over to the second code, and away you go again.
That may be how we'll have to deal with it for next week, at least until we're able to. I'll send out, when I do the announcement, a new code. And, well, hopefully I'll be able to. I mean, I don't know what all the – this is all new to me. I mean, we got on today, and it was the first time I got an announcement that it was only going to last an hour.
Now, wait a minute. Is it because it was a recurring meeting and it was every week that they want you to do this business thing?
That's what I'm saying is I don't know. This is the first time I've gotten any notification like this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to do some research into what's going on with the Google Meet. I know that they've been pushing Google Workplace is kind of like Office 365. And the idea is that you would have all these extra features, like being able to hold meetings for as long as you want, for as many people as you want.
Well, yeah. I'm having the same thing with Google, that my Google Photos is telling me, you know, you're 80% full, buy another 100 gig. My Google Drive is telling me that I need to, you know, be careful. And we do now have that 2 terabyte of Apple storage. Right, Bill?
Yes.
That we pay $13.65 a month on. So, you know, I guess I better get rid of my Google Photo, but
yeah, that's essentially what happens is that you either you just switch services because you use Apple phones. That's very easy to just have it's up there in iCloud, so you don't actually have to use Google Photo. So by eliminating that, you're not getting those messages of running out of storage.
Yeah, and so Apple. It's just called Photo, isn't it?
I think it's Photos, Apple Photos.
But then I'd have to do that sharing and everything and figure out what I'm doing there.
Yeah, I think that's just a checkbox in the settings for iCloud. When you go into your settings under iCloud, I think that's just, by default, I think it's on.
Okay.
I mean,
it's a family account, so I think all of our stuff goes flow together, but I'm not sure. So.
Yeah, the way I would understand it is that you're whittling away at the same amount of space, but each one of your usages is private.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way I would understand it to be working.
Well, you know, I'm doing these ads on Facebook Marketplace, and we take the pictures. I take some pictures with my phone. Bill takes some pictures with his phone. I've got something off the internet. I want to post a picture of the product when it was bought new, all these kind of things. And to find them all and to get them all to work together, Facebook tells me that you can now send things from your phone, only it doesn't seem to recognize my phone. You know, it's just, it's a whole big thing to get everything up there. And then sometimes it moves things around. So my key picture that I want as my first picture ends up being the third picture, you know? So, why isn't technology easy?
Right. I'm kicking myself on another tech topic. I'm kicking myself recently because yesterday I finally decided to reformat my phone. And I wish I had done it 3 months ago because it took me all day to get it back into shape. But it's so much better. I'm all of a sudden not needing a new phone. The last few months I've just been like, this thing's not keeping up with me. I need to be able to... I just need a better phone. That's what it comes down to. And yesterday I took the time to back it up and format it, restore it, and set everything back up. And now it's taking pictures fast. Nothing's freezing on me. The apps aren't crashing on me. I'm like, I'm an idiot. I should have done that a long time ago.
Well, okay, I got an iPhone story.
Yeah, you got that one.
I've been trying to get rid of my iPhone for a couple of months now. First, I broke the screen on it. It still works. It works fine, except I got lines through it. And didn't work. I didn't get a new phone out of that. So yesterday, I started up the weed whacker and was knocking weeds down around the place. And I went out and went around the weeds that I want to cut down out on our acreage. And I got back to the house and was talking to Cheryl and discovered that the case that I have my iPhone in isn't on my belt anymore. It's out there somewhere.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
And so I start off.
Canadian thistle.
Yeah, Canadian thistle and tall grass, whatever. Anyway, so I start walking backtracking all the way around. And it's like a quarter mile probably of total walking. And I get back there, no phone, no phone at all. And then I said, well, I figured I was going to go again. And Cheryl decided she was going to go. And she went just a little bit different route that I'd forgotten that I'd gone over around this piece of equipment. And here it is. It probably fell off in the first throw of 4 minutes. And it was laying on the ground right beside the equipment.
Oh.
So try again. I tried to throw it away this time and still didn't get a new phone.
So you're still not getting a new phone, but years ago, my iPad has been so sick. You know, I type on the keyboard and it just sits there, and then all of a sudden it'll start typing everything that I just typed. You know, so it's like doing all these things and taking time, and I can't open certain web pages. I can't do things on it. Bill reformatted it for me a while.
Uh oh. Bill, you're still moving. Cheryl's
frozen.
Frozen. Yeah. No, she's moving now.
No, there she goes.
She's moving on my screen.
Yep.
Can she hear us?
I can hear you guys.
Okay.
You
froze for a moment there.
Oh, there you go. Anyways, I need to have him reformat my iPad. So, yeah. So if we can get to what are we watching, you guys had me start watching Rake, the Australian thing.
Hey, I just want to make a quick comment on how we are not very technologically sophisticated if the rest of our group has not joined us by now. We might need to do some lessons.
Well, they're not checking their emails and things like that. But
that's it. I wonder
if they online just... lessons in do the online lessons in Zoom so everybody can stick around.
Right. We might have to.
Yeah. So I
wonder if people just said, "We're so close to the end, we're not coming back."
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Could have been. You know.
Go ahead, Cheryl. You were talking about rate. The Australian version, I'm assuming.
Yes, with the lawyer type guy. Anyways, I watched about the first three episodes, and I thought, all this is sex. A lot of good stuff. Anyway, so then
they have to capture your interest first before they can go on with the real story.
You watched Bridgerton, didn't you? Or Bridgerton, is that what it's called?
Well, I did watch Bridgerton. Bridgerton and Drake are different when it comes to banging whom.
There's a lot of banging on both of them.
Yeah, that's true. So then I start watching Start Up, which is the first series was all about GenCoin and, you know, somebody making a Bitcoin type thing and getting into the competition. But there's a lot of Haitian crime. And I was thinking about Chester watching his Mexican crime. This is Haitian versus Afro-American and everything in Florida and Miami. And then the second series was all about the dark web and creating that. And, you know, it's quite good and it's quite techy.
What is this? So, say that again.
Start Up.
Oh, Start Up. People have been talking about that show. I know nothing about it.
I'm so surprised you haven't watched it yet because it's definitely up your alley.
Oh, I'll have
we have it up that. Here, Scott. Let's start.
Oh, Bill's time to take his fiber drink. Just came on. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug.
Is that Alexa reminding you?
That's funny.
Yeah, well, it was worth it to see the look on my grandson's face when it started up.
he shakes his head a few times at us and our technology. So
that's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so Startup is kind of neat and it's got my attention. I watched a movie which was kind of different. It was a comedian girl, Looks Good on Paper, I think it was called. Looks Good on Paper. And it was a guy that met her and basically pretended to be what he wasn't. And yeah, it was a different movie. Don't know if I highly recommend it, but it's a time waster. So,
looks good on paper for a movie. All right. Mom, you got anything?
We've been so busy around here, there hasn't been time for watching TV.
That's right.
How our life has gone from doing nothing but TV to having everything to do. Not doing real well at some of it, but having fun.
Well, I did read a book this week as well. I read a book. It was called The Home for Unwanted Girls.
Mm.
It's a story of the orphanages in Quebec. That they were turned into a mental institutes, basically, because the government got more money or gave more money to mental patients than they did to orphans. And it was back in the 50s kind of thing. And yeah, so it was a very good story. And it had a lot about the French versus the English and even the FLQ crisis that happened in our country. And it was a good story, a family kind of story. And I just picked up my next library book, which is Mexican Gothic.
Wait, slow down a second. I want to take notes, and I'm having lags in my computer system here. Give me 1 second to get back here. Home of Unwanted Girls, is that right?
The Home for Unwanted Girls. It's a Canadian book. I could find the author.
Home for Unwanted Girls.
Should be on Goodreads.
Okay. I'll take a look at it. All right. I'm caught up now.
Okay. And then the next one is Mexican Gothic. It's a new book by an author, Spanish.
I like the title.
Yeah, and it's kind of it says it's a cross between a horror story and I literally just picked it up from the library, so we'll see
how it goes. Oh, so you haven't had a chance to read it yet?
Nope, but it's recommended by one of my girls, Amy, down in San Carlos has been reading it. Okay. Bye, Terry.
He had a busy weekend, too. He's kind of feeling rough.
The kids are around and you guys are partying?
Right now they're sleeping it off.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a birthday party, a birthday in our daughter-in-law's birthday this weekend. But we went to a BMX race last weekend. We actually got to see races because it didn't hail on us. So that was nice.
Hey, I just thought I do have a recommendation. Yeah. I did not get to watch the entire movie, but I've seen the entire movie before. Justin, I went to go check on what they were doing, and they were watching Cousins, which is a movie I've seen before. It's a 1989 film. It stars Ted Danza, Isabella Rossellini, Sean Young, William Peterson, and it's a very good movie about these cousins by marriage. Oh, it's got Lloyd Bridges in it. Well, actually, Lloyd Bridges is one of the best characters. I don't know if you guys have seen that. I'm sure Mom has seen this movie. But these mutual couples, married couples, that meet at an original wedding, their spouses decide to hook up with each other. So they decide to have an affair right there at the wedding. And their mutual spouses discover this and decide to pretend like they're having an affair. And they actually end up falling in love with each other. And so it's over the course of a couple of different weddings and a funeral that these two families continually get reconnected. Chester made it. Chester, you're more sophisticated than most of our group because you're back with us. We were just doing...
All I did was click on me.
All right. Well, we're just going through some recommendations for movies and books. And I was just talking about the movie Cousins, a 1989 film. That was very funny. We were laughing out loud, even though it's deep in the 80s. No cell phones, no internet, a lot of 80s culture, but very funny. You know, you watch some of these 80s movies, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that was. I used to think that was a good movie. That definitely didn't hold up. This movie really held up. It was such an interesting love story. Oh, and I'm looking at my web browser, my Google search here. I didn't even realize this. It was a Joel Schumacher movie. I don't know if you know him. He directed the second Superman movie, if I remember right. But his background was all in comedy romances. And so it makes sense that he would be a director of this movie. That's all I got. That's the only recommendation I have for this week. A movie I kind of walked into.
The one that I mentioned, Chester, is it's a series, and it's called Start Up. And Start Up is a group of techie and gangster people in Florida that create basically a competitor to Bitcoin. In the first series, and then in the second series, they create a a dark web. So it's very techy, but it also has the whole gang element, because we got Haitians and Afro-Americans and what they can get away with in Florida and what they can't get away with, and the police corruption, you know, all the whole bit is in there.
And well, where did you find it?
I've been watching it on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah. Start Up, or The Startup. I'm not sure if it's a the or just that, but
Startup.
Yeah.
And well,
we've run the gauntlet, or still are, on the cartels. We've done, I think, three of them, and we have a new one we're watching that it's been dubbed in English, so you can, everything is in English. It's called El Capo.
El Chapo?
El Chapo.
Is this...
Three seasons.
Chapo, is this...
It's easy to watch because you don't have to read all of it.
Is this a story based on El Chapo from Mexico, the drug cartel leader?
Yes.
And the capture of him, I think, huh?
Okay, well, I'm sure there's three seasons, and it starts off with him with the very beginning of his involvement in the cartel, and the 3 years of it. So I'm not quite sure where it goes, but I'm sure I would think it would end with his capture and trial. The thing I like about it compared to the other series we've watched is that I don't have to read all the words. It's all dubbed in English. So that makes it very easy to watch.
I just got a text message from Paul. Brian, watching on YouTube. Paul, we've got a new meet code if you're watching us. I don't know if it's going to be a meet code for next week. What's going on? Am I disappearing? Oh, I'm disappearing, aren't I?
You had a little bit of a blip there for a minute.
I'm still here, though.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, we can hear your voice. There you are.
So if he can hear you on YouTube, are you just going to give him the code out loud?
Well, he's contacting me on Messenger, so I was gonna paste it in the Messenger. I could give it out loud, but then I'd have to read it. So give me a second here. I mean, I'll
read
it. It is, yeah, it's Zuy hyphen V as in Victor, YFK hyphen BTS. I think that's right.
And for the Canadians, it's Zuy.
you noticed I wasn't. Cheryl, you noticed I wasn't going to let you pronounce it incorrectly.
I see that. I don't know about the word incorrectly. Differently. Come on.
I was just playing the American role.
Yeah. American.
I didn't want American. To have to correct you more than once.
Okay, how about Victor Yankee 5K?
Yeah, okay, all right. That's fine. Victor Yankee.
For you Canadians, that's awesome. we have finished with Drover's Run, McLeod's Daughters, and have switch now to Heartland.
Oh,
really enjoying all of the scenery and the horse work and the young girls there. So, and the young boys there too. So
Heartland is filmed in High River, Alberta, which is where, like, I taught the last time I taught in Southern Alberta, I taught in High River, and that's where I belonged to the theater group. And many of the people that I know in High River have been in as extras or things in a lot of the movies and TV shows that are made down there. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Scott Superman, and yeah. I think I've the story before of the note that I have, because the one boy was missed school the one morning because he was watching Superman rescue the lady off the bridge, you know, over the river down at the creek. Anyways, so, you know, there is Superman, and then there's all kinds of Clint Eastwood's famous one, Unforgiven, was filmed down there on they set up this whole town on one of my friend's land, you know, so that was there. But Heartland is filmed and still is. And the woman the young girl, I can't think right now. My parents used to watch Heartland all the time too. Anyway, she was at the Chuckwagon races that we had last weekend in High River. She lives close by, but she often shows up in town, you know. And the saddlewear store, first pair of cowboy boots that I ever bought, I bought at the saddlewear store that's featured as the main coffee shop and everything in the film. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fun to know so much about it. Well, we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
We're really enjoying it. We have trouble with the wild horses not being called Brumbies, but oh well. We're getting on that again.
Brumbies? I've never heard that term before.
Oh, in Australia.
They're the wild horses that live in a park.
And they're called Brumbies.
Brumbies.
Oh. So you got, I get it. You got used to that with the Australian show, and now you're watching the Canadian show.
Yeah, and they have a altogether different term. We just call them wild horses, I think.
Yeah.
Mustangs would be, but those are a breed, I think.
Yeah, Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
We have the wild horses.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. It wasn't Superman. Joel Schumacher did Batman movie. He did Batman Forever. This is the continuation of that original. I wanted to make sure I was getting the correct information. He's done a lot of movies that you would recognize. Time to Kill, Batman and Robin, 8mm. Wow, 8mm? Jeez, that was a crazy movie. Phantom of the Opera, The Number 23. Anyway, yeah, up until Batman, not Superman, up until Batman, he had been known as making these. Well, why don't I even see the Cousins movie? Maybe I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm going to shut up now. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, realizing that it could just be totally wrong. The Incredible Shrinking Woman is one of his. St. Elmo's Fire. The Lost Boys. There's Cousins. It's right. Flatliners. I didn't realize he did Flatliners. That's a great movie.
You're having trouble there.
Yeah, my network says that I have a poor connectivity again, and I'm blipping and all over the place. So I'm going to take off because we have sold the trailer today, and I have to go and do the paperwork on it. So,
well, we're at the end of this meeting to begin with, and I will send out an email in the next few days with a new plan if our meetings are going to be cut short in an hour. I liked Bill's suggestion that we just set up two meetings, have a second meeting already ready to go. But I also like the idea of just switching platforms to one where we don't have to play games like that. And I think we're a small enough group, we could probably get away with going back to Skype and trying it there again. I just need to make sure it technically works. Mom and I jumped onto Skype and started doing a video, but my audio wasn't coming through at all. And I think that's something to do with the way I've got my computer configured right now. So I'll play around with it some more. At the very least, we can do two meeting codes next week. And we'll make sure at the top of the hour everybody knows what's going on.
So, Scott,
if you need
help testing something out, let us know and we can log in for you.
Awesome. I'll do that, Bill. I'll definitely be bothering you to help.
It's no bother at all.
And we'll just call this to an end. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. Abruptly interrupted, but... We quickly tried to come back together, and we will be a full group again next week. I am Scott Stimson, from International Computer Solutions, broadcasting from the Anchorage Walkabout Town Bed and Breakfast in Anchorage, Alaska, saying, tech on until next Tuesday. We'll talk again. See you guys.
I didn't know that B&B was called Walkabout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's from the Australian connection.
30 years. We have an Australian room.
Of course you do. Boomerangs and things on the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Typical
so you've
tourist
been, you've
stuff.
Been there.
Actually, I have a kangaroo skin and a sheepskin from New Zealand and a boomerang and everything in my Australia room. But it's not put up right now. It's all in boxes. So.
Well, guys.
Okay, bye.
We'll talk later this week. Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks, Mom.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.